Welcome back to Ignite Your Light, a podcast that connects creatives, healers, and entrepreneurs through spirituality and wellness. My name is Riley Webster. I am your host. And like always, I'm so excited to share this episode with you. I interviewed Melissa Lamoureux, who I met in Edmonton at the Women Empowering Women Conference. I was supporting a client. And she was one of the speakers. She was the first speaker, and I really resonated with her speech. She was talking a lot about healing through acceptance versus healing through fixing or through the narrative that we're not good enough already as we are. And that was a really refreshing take, just because I find that in the personal development world, wellness, health, all of that, I find sometimes we can get caught up in this, I'm not good enough as I already am. So I really resonated with her approach. And then she was speaking about the emotional freedom technique, or tapping, which she practices in her coaching and in her one-on-one sessions. And I became really curious about it because like I've spoken about previously, I've been doing a lot of somatic work. And I find it the most effective. I feel that for me, in my experience, and I'm a strong believer for others as well, we need an approach to working through our stuff that uses the body and the nervous system, not just the mind. And we'll get into all of this and kind of why that's important in the episode. Melissa can speak to it better than I can. But we actually recorded this episode last week, and then at the end of the episode, we were thinking it would be beneficial for me to have a session so that I could really speak to it. So last night, we had a session together. It was the first time I'd ever done tapping, and to be honest, I always thought it was kind of like, I had this narrative in my mind that, that won't work for me. Like, it's so subtle. It's just like, you're tapping these weird points on your face and your chest and your shoulder and your head. I thought it was kind of hokey. And honestly, this was one of the most powerful sessions with anyone I've ever had in my life. Melissa just could completely, she was so intuitive. She just knew what was going on for me. And it's crazy. I had all this overwhelm because I was starting this new job, and the tapping, because it's working with your nervous system, and our nervous system loves these repetitive movements. And because we're tapping on these acupressure points, my overwhelm just kept going down and down and down. And you kind of get to the root of why you're even overwhelmed, or maybe it's just an emotion that's come up from an overstimulated nervous system from a stressful day. So I found the session with her just so beneficial. I'm considering working with her more on a long-term basis in the new year. But I am really excited to share this with you because she has some really just unique and different insights about therapy as a whole, about trauma. She's studied with a psychotherapist. She's really, really knowledgeable about this whole realm. And then she brings her intuitive gifts and intuitive strengths into the sessions. So overall, it was like mind-blowing. I slept so well. My mood had completely turned around. It was wild. So I hope that this feels supportive for you, this episode. She is going to be talking a lot again about trauma and just how she got into this world and why EFT or tapping is so effective and beneficial. So here is Melissa, and I will link all of her information below. I hope that you enjoy this episode. I'm so happy to have you on my podcast because I like deeply, deeply resonated with your talk at the women's conference. In
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was so amazing because I feel like I'm on this kick of feeling really frustrated with how we are approaching healing and mental health and trauma, and how, in my experience, what I've been seeing is people approaching it from a mindset of shaming when you're not positive all the time, or when it's taking a long time to work through something, or, you know, just all these expectations that I guess trigger me because I'm already quite hard on myself. So when I see that messaging, I find it really frustrating. And I felt that your talk really opened up the conversation to healing through acceptance rather than healing through fixing, and healing through changing for the sake of changing. So adding this lens of acceptance, and how can we heal through, first of all, accepting where we're at. And I know it's more complicated than that, and kind of, you know, it can be really frustrating to just accept where you're at.
I know, right? It's like, yeah, kind of like the boon in all self-help stuff, you know, you hear all the time, just like, you know, love yourself. Accept yourself, just love yourself. Yeah. And it was always like the question for me, of course, was always like, well, how do I do that? You know, I'm a very kind of practical oriented person. So it was like crazy making kind of hearing that stuff all the time. But I think you bring up a really good point, and that is this idea of not only changing ourselves just to change ourselves, but changing ourselves because there's something wrong with us.
Exactly.
And I think that that is a super prevalent kind of approach in the healing, self-help, you know, personal development kind of industry. And I mean, in my own journey, I mean, you heard me at the talk or at the event, you know, really just talking about how it was that idea that actually perpetuated a lot of my mental health issues to the point where, you know, it just really brought me to my knees in my life in so many different ways. So I think it's something that I think it is getting some more attention now, thankfully. But it's something that, you know, for me has been really important just along the journey. And it's a big part of the work that I do is really around, how do we accept the parts of ourselves that we kind of hate? Because ultimately it's the things that we often want to change about ourselves, whether it's a behavior or a pattern or, you know, whatever it is for us. Or, you know, maybe it's a physical thing, right? There's all kinds of different things that we might want to change about ourselves, but it's really starting to recognize that the thing that we've developed or the coping strategy that we've developed has actually been on our side the whole time.
Yeah. Can you speak to that? Because I find that really interesting and also really resonant for my life. Because I remember a few years ago, I had a really poor relationship with food and eating, and I was really obsessed about just my body and hating myself and just really
kind of like a full-time job, right?
Oh my God. Just like at war with myself. And I remember going to counseling for the first time. This is when I was like maybe 20 or 21. And I went to counseling, and I remember sitting down and being like, I'm obsessed about what I'm eating and I can't stop counting calories and yada, yada, yada. And my counselor was like, okay, great. Like this obsession is serving a purpose. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? No, like we're supposed to fix this.
you're like, no, you're not hearing me. Like there's something wrong here. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, no, like this is positive in the sense that this obsession is helping you channel some energy, or it's not something that we need to like uproot and get you to focus on something totally different. Like this obsession is serving a purpose. So I would love to hear more about your thoughts on just how our coping strategies do help to keep us safe for that time, or help us in our lives in some capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and this is, you know, really kind of goes back to just kind of my story. And I don't know if I talked about it very much at the event. I don't think it was a part of my talk, but what kind of brought me to this world was that I actually had obsessive skin picking disorder as a kid for years and years and years. It started when I was about 6. And so I kind of had this narrative, you know, pretty much majority of my life that there was something wrong with me, and that, you know, this thing that about me, this behavior about me really needed to change. Like there was something really like fundamentally wrong here. I grew up in a really small community, and there were just, you know, there were not a lot of resources. Understanding back then of coping behaviors like that was really minimal, particularly kind of where I was living. So I sort of was just left to my own devices. Like, I really was not supported. You know, I didn't really have anyone to turn to for support. And the thing that so often happens around these kinds of behaviors is that it's the thing that you hate about yourself, but like you just wish that you weren't doing it, but it feels good at the same time. It's soothing. And so there's a lot of kind of mixed messages and kind of cross wiring that can happen there. But fundamentally, I mean, when it comes to any kinds of kind of these behaviors, they're developed out of a sense of needing to feel safe and in control in an environment, in a relationship where you maybe don't feel that way. And so, I mean, I know it's kind of, it almost seems sort of counterintuitive, right? Because we oftentimes think, and this comes up often around addictions, is that it's like, well, you know, if someone is addicted to cocaine, like that's bad. But is it? You know, I mean, if this person, if that's the way that this person is dealing with stress and that's their only way of coping with that, that like, who knows what else they would do if they didn't have that coping mechanism in that moment. And it's almost like the way that I see addictions and these types of behaviors now is almost like medicine. That's the medicine that I needed during that time in my life to help me cope, because I felt incredibly alone. I felt incredibly isolated. I didn't have a lot of support. And I had a lot of shame. And so the way for me to get through that period in my life was to gouge holes in my skin, because that actually was soothing for me. And so everyone's going to have kind of, not everyone, but you know, if we have these different kinds of behaviors, we might have a propensity towards overworking or using sex or being on social media or whatever that's going to be, right? It's like whatever the coping strategy is, it fundamentally is coming from a place of wanting to feel safe. And so when we can see it from that place, not only do we have a greater understanding of it, but it can also release some of the shame that we carry around it, right? Because we oftentimes think that something has gone incredibly wrong, when the reality is that, you know, it's serving a purpose for us in those moments.
Right. So what was your journey in kind of moving past those coping mechanisms, and how did you help to heal yourself, again, kind of using that lens of acceptance?
Mm-hmm. These are such good questions. And actually, right, like the first thing that came to mind was like, oh my God, where do I start? Yeah, it's funny because I'm only 32 and I feel like I have lived like so many lifetimes.
Oh, me too.
And I think just because, you know, a lot of my issues really started at such a young age. So I really had to start looking for answers quite young. And so, I mean, when it came to the obsessive skin picking disorder, like it kind of dissipated later in my teens. So it was really challenging, you know, being a kid with that going on. And I mean, this was a super visible thing that I had going on. So it was like big, like scabs anywhere my fingernails would reach, basically. And I was doing this in my sleep. So, and also consciously during the day, but so the sense of feeling completely out of control was super strong. So one of my kind of coping behaviors from that, right, was to feel like I needed to be in control at all times. I needed to control how people saw me, how I showed up. Like everything was incredibly kind of orchestrated in my life and how I showed up because of this intense kind of need to control the things around me. And to control this behavior, right? So, when I, you know, got into my teens, it kind of just naturally dissipated, or it sort of fell into the background for me. But then that's where these other kind of behaviors started to show up more. So the control was huge, like needed to control everything. I had almost a complete inability to be vulnerable in relationships. Like I didn't have a lot of close vulnerable relationships. I had a lot of acquaintances and friends, but you know, there wasn't really much in the way of intimacy in my life in any way, shape or form. Dating was like you know, a horrendous experience. And then, you know, I just kind of started to see the aftermath of that coping behavior show up all over the place in my life. And so, another kind of piece of that puzzle was also really struggling with anxiety. So I had horrible anxiety, and I also struggled with depression, like severe bouts of depression. And so that kind of went on all throughout my 20s, you know, these relationship issues, like inability to have close, intimate, even friendships. You know, I really struggled with just my self-esteem in general. So I was kind of doing well, like career-wise, but everything else in my life kind of was falling apart. And it just seemed to be sort of an ongoing thing. And so the big kind of piece of the puzzle for me that really changed things was understanding trauma. So once I actually started to recognize that what I had experienced as a kid, had in fact been trauma, I was in fact traumatized. And that's where all these behaviors came from. That really, I think, kind of unlocked the gateway of healing for me. Because then I didn't see it so much as like, oh, there's something wrong with me. I saw it more as like, oh, there's some nurturing and some healing that needs to happen here, because I didn't have that, you know, way back then. And what I'm dealing with now is really the aftermath of that. So I specialized in a modality called emotional freedom techniques, and I worked with a psychotherapist who specialized in that modality. So that was really how I came into it, was I started working with a psychotherapist who specialized that. And I still work with her and mentor with her to this day. I actually just had a call with her this morning. And yeah, really just mentoring with her to understand the impact of trauma on the brain, the body, and the emotions, because it's those three elements that trauma really impacts that we need to be working with in tandem to actually create the healing that we're looking for. And I mean, there's all kinds of nuances in there. But, you know, as a part of that healing journey was, you know, doing inner child work and really kind of going back to that time in my life and processing things that I just didn't have the tools to process then. You know, learning how to reparent myself, learning how to make new decisions from, you know, adult Melissa, rather than scared little girl Melissa, who, you know, just didn't have the support that she needed at the time. So, yeah, so it's been, I feel like it's been a long journey. And I'll also say that, you know, this journey of really healing these parts of ourselves, it's not for the faint of heart. It really takes courage. And the sort of getting to the other side of it is just so worth it, because now, you know, I get to help people who struggle with really, you know, sometimes kind of intense issues, and I can bring understanding to it because of my experience. So, yeah, so that's just sort of, I guess, maybe kind of the Coles notes of my healing journey. Does that give you a good kind of sense of that?
Totally, totally. I was like, totally engaged that whole time. I'm wondering, so can you explain a little more about what emotional freedom technique is and how it can help the nervous system and maybe the nervous system's relation to trauma?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like five questions in one. Can you just explain it all?
Yeah. Can you just tell me like all about this thing plus this and this other thing? Yeah, no, it's all good. So EFT, it's short for emotional freedom techniques. And it's a mind body. Essentially it's a somatic modality that was actually developed in the early 90s. By Gary Craig to treat war veterans with PTSD. And I mean, there's kind of like a whole history there. You know, it came from, you know, some of the Callahans doing, you know, different acupressure work, and it's all based on, you know, acupressure points based in the ancient Chinese medicine. So it effectively works with the neural pathways in the brain. It also works with the nervous system, so the body. And then it also works with the emotional system, which is connected to the limbic system in the brain. And so what happens when, you know, when we have an experience that causes a trauma in our lives. And oftentimes, and I'll just say this too about trauma, that oftentimes, you know, we think of trauma as, or I think traditionally we've thought of trauma as something physical, right? It's like you are in a car crash, or you get like, you know, an injury to the head, or, you know, maybe you've been physically assaulted in some way, shape, or form. But what I had to learn kind of through this journey was that emotional and psychological trauma also leaves an impact, but it's invisible for the most part, right? Until it starts to show up in our behaviors. And oftentimes it can show up as physical symptoms as well. And so there's a number of different sort of characteristics of trauma, but the four that I, you know, most often use to describe trauma is, it's an acronym, UDIN, so UDIN. And the four characteristics of trauma, and there's a big T and little T, which I'll talk about shortly as well, but four characteristics of trauma is it's unexpected. So it oftentimes will create kind of like a shock to the system. Because you didn't have a plan, right? You weren't expecting it. So UD is, it's dramatic. So dramatic meaning that there was a lot of kind of energy around it. I was that it was isolating, meaning that you didn't have anyone to turn to in the moment. And N is that there was no plan. So those oftentimes are the four kind of characteristics of a traumatic experience. Now, when I talk about a big T or a little T, so the big T would be like the car crash. The big T is, you know, if we've been assaulted, if there's some kind of big catastrophic event that we've experienced, we would consider that a big T trauma. Now, a big T trauma will oftentimes actually create what we call a trauma capsule in the body, whereby, you know, all of the stimuli that are coming in through the eyes, through the ears, you know, smells, voices, like anything like that, any kind of physical sensations, it almost gets kind of locked into what we call this trauma capsule. And then the body kind of logs it away so that you can carry on moving forward in your life. And so we sometimes will have these big T traumas. And so those kinds of traumas, and I don't want to say they're easier to sort out, but sometimes they can be because it's one specific experience. The more challenging kind of trauma to sort out is those sort of behavioral type things, because oftentimes that the kind of resulting behavior is actually from a number of small T traumas that happen consistently over time. So the small T trauma would be something like, you know, I came home from school as a kid, and I'm just kind of making this up, but, you know, say I came home from school as a kid and I was super excited about something that happened, and I came in the door and, you know, wanted to tell one of my parents about it, or, you know, maybe I had an issue that I wanted to talk to them about, and they either turned away from me and rejected me in that, or I felt rejected in that moment, or maybe they yelled at me, maybe they were having a fight, maybe something kind of unexpected happened in that moment that I felt kind of shut down. So that is what we would consider like a small T trauma, but that happens enough times, you know, over our childhood or over our lifetime, we actually start to develop belief systems. We start to develop patterns that are based on the decisions that we're making because of these experiences that we have. And so when it comes to using something like EFT to resolve trauma, what's so important again is that we're working with the brain and the body, the nervous system, and the limbic system, which is the emotions, because when it comes to these behaviors and patterns and, you know, these specific trauma experiences, it has all three of those components wrapped up in them. So it has elements that are impacting our brain. It has elements that are impacting our nervous system. It has elements that are impacting our emotional system. So if we're only working with one or two, we're not going to have the same kind of healing impact that we could have if we were working with something that was effectively, you know, resolving whatever the issue is on all three of those different levels. So that's one of the reasons why I love EFT so much. It's been an incredibly powerful tool for me. And, you know, it's really been the mainstay of my practice over the last, you know, 2-3 years.
Melissa, and, are you there?
Yeah. Yeah. Hi. Are you hearing me?
Oh, you just cut out for some reason.
Oh, weird.
You're back. You're back. But you were saying it cut out at the point where you said one of the reasons you love EFT is because it's working with all three.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, weird, because I was actually getting some like feedback a little bit there. And then I was like, oh, weird. And so I'm assuming, right, you just listen to this like after and then you just cut out any weird parts?
Yeah, yeah, no worries. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And I'll just start by saying, and so the reason that I love EFT so much is because it's effectively working with the neural pathways in the brain. It's working with the nervous system to bring us out of either fight or flight or faint or freeze. And then it's also working with our emotional system. It's helping us, you know, process emotions that we oftentimes don't really know how to process in the moment. And particularly the heavy stuff, right? Like shame, guilt, fear, sadness, all of that stuff. You know, I think oftentimes we talked a little bit about this after my talk, but we kind of avoid those emotions. But I actually think that the main reason for that is just because people they're not equipped. They just don't have the tools. And so that's why it's such just a powerful tool, because it really empowers people. Because not only, you know, if I'm working with someone one-on-one, I'm doing it with them. So we're doing it together and I'm kind of leading it. But then they also have a tool that they can walk away with to help them navigate difficult emotions, to help them regulate their nervous system, all of that stuff. So really, really powerful.
Super powerful. So when dealing with the difficult emotions and even kind of like the taboo emotions, for example, jealousy, for example, mm-hmm. or shame or guilt, mm-hmm. how do we go about navigating those in a way that is not shoving them under the rug or mm-hmm. not being willing to feel them? Because I believe that every emotion as a human is welcome. But
yeah.
when it feels really shitty to mm-hmm. feel some of those things, what are some, like, let's be real, when it feels yeah. fucking awful to,
I get it. Yeah.
be guilty or regretful or any of these things, what are some ways we can navigate those emotions?
This is such a good question. Well, how do I answer this? I would say, I think the first thing really, I'm like, I don't even know if this is going to make sense, but I think the first thing really is just acknowledging that that's okay. It's okay to have those emotions. And I know that that seems kind of like that's not really helpful. But I mean, you know, in my own journey, it was really the thought that those emotions weren't okay that was actually kind of creating like this compound effect. And it was keeping me like locked in this kind of cycle of denying yet experiencing those emotions at the same time. So I think just the awareness first and foremost is super key, that, oh, okay, I'm recognizing I'm recognizing that I'm actually feeling anger, I'm feeling jealousy, I'm feeling whatever, without judgment, right? Because mm-hmm. we so often, whenever we're feeling something shitty like that, because we have all these like culturally, we have so many messages about what it means to feel those things, right?
Totally.
And so I think it can be almost unconscious to actually just automatically start judging ourselves when we feel those things, mm-hmm. right? It's like, oh, I'm starting to feel jealousy. And like, I think a lot of times we're not even really aware that we're doing it. It's like, we're just trying to get away from it.
Totally.
And so I think, you know, just the recognition that, you know, this is okay. And this isn't me. It doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. It doesn't mean that I'm a jealous person. It doesn't mean that I'm an asshole. Like whatever the thing is that we think about ourselves for having those emotions. I think it's it really is just being with it without the judgment and all the labels that we so often want to kind of ascribe. So I think that's really the first piece. And then I would say the second piece, and this is where I was saying that it takes courage. You know, I think the path of kind of transmutation, which is essentially what we're doing when we lean into these things, I think the path of transmutation really takes a level of kind of bravery, especially if we're not used to feeling and or navigating, you know, these difficult emotions. If we've learned majority of our lives to kind of turn away from the hard stuff and the stuff that doesn't feel good, well, it's not really going to feel very safe to lean into that initially, right? And so I think just kind of having that awareness as well and having that level of kind of fortitude and almost like self-compassion that, you know, maybe this isn't going to be easy, but maybe I'm going to be okay. Like I can do hard things. Maybe, you know, maybe this is a learning experience for me, whatever that looks like for us, but really being able to lean in to that stuff, lean into the physical sensations of that, lean into how it feels just in your body, what's going through your head, like all of that stuff. I think when we can actually drop into our physicality, particularly when we're dealing with difficult emotions, it can help us just kind of transmute. Because, and this is where that acceptance piece comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm able to, say I'm feeling jealousy, because that's the one that has been coming up. Say I'm feeling jealousy and I'm just like, you know, in a state. I'm like, I do not want to feel this. This feels shitty. I feel like a shitty person, you know, I'm supposed to be loving and kind. And I think that's the other thing. Sorry, I'm kind of going all over the place now because this is such a big topic, but I think that's one of the other things, you know, when we're in the kind of healing and self-help realm, we oftentimes think that to be loving and kind people, we need to be kumbaya all the time.
Totally.
And, you know, but as a human, in order for me to really experience higher and higher levels of love and peace, that also means that I need to be able to navigate my shadow as well. I need to be able to navigate the stuff that doesn't always feel good.
And not so, try to get rid of the shadow.
Yes. Yeah. Not try and get rid of it. And so I think that's exactly where I was going next, was about this acceptance piece, right? That when I can sit, when I can get out of my head and drop into my body when I'm feeling jealousy, when I can actually feel what that feels like in my physical body and not try and change it, when I can just accept that it's there, that I can really, like when I can really just allow that to take up space in my body, even though I might not like it, that oftentimes, in my experience, is the moment when it shifts, is because when we're able to accept, it opens a door to a new possibility. Because as long as we're trying to get rid of it, we're essentially rejecting a part of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Right? I've been doing this practice where every time something comes up, like whether it's from my past or something I'm ruminating on or something that's kind of got me feeling really constricted. Mm-hmm. I literally tell myself, just send it some love, send it some love, and send it some compassion. And not that it goes away right away or anything like that, that I don't really think this is how that works, but it kind of softens the edges a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It invites a little bit more, almost like a little bit more play to it, where it's okay, like it's welcome, like it's welcome to have, let's say, jealousy there. It's welcome. I see it. I acknowledge it. I feel it. I send it some love. I send it some compassion. And it's almost like treating yourself like a little kid in a way, and just kind of giving it this, like, you know what? It's okay. It's there. Send it that love, and then onwards. And then every time it comes back, just sending it some love, sending it some love. I've found that really helpful for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's like putting some balm on the wound, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's the thing too, is like remembering that these emotions that are coming up, they're not against us, you know? Yeah. Even though they might not necessarily feel good, they're just looking for our attention. And so, you know, going back to what you were saying about like, what can we do? I mean, those are the first two steps. Well, two kind of ways for me is really that awareness and then leaning into it. And then the third piece, so this is where EFT would come into practice. And I was just thinking, I was like, oh yeah, we can do some EFT either today or, you know, we can schedule another thing just so you can kind of check it out, because essentially it's a practical tool that you can use in the moment when you are dealing with some of those difficult emotions. Because as I'm tapping on these different acupressure points, oh yeah, so I forgot to say that when you were asking me what EFT is. So essentially, I'm tapping on, there's 9 different acupressure points. And what I'm doing is I'm thinking about, or I'm feeling, leaning into some of these difficult emotions. And then I'm tapping on these acupressure points at the same time. And so what's happening is I'm leaning into the jealousy. I'm accepting the jealousy. I'm really kind of like letting it get almost to a feverish pitch as I'm tapping on these points, and I'm actually calming my nervous system at the same time. I'm manually calming my nervous system as I'm feeling these intense emotions. And what often happens is the emotion subsides because I've accepted it and I've been able to manually calm my nervous system at the same time. And then that's oftentimes where kind of the new possibility or the awareness comes in. Of, oh, I'm feeling this way because I'm actually kind of upset that I'm not further ahead. And this other person, you know, who I'm jealous of, just showed me that, you know, what I've actually been feeling about myself.
Mm. Yes, right.
I and love so, that. Yeah. So it's an experiential technique. It's an experiential process. And, yeah, like I said, I would love to just kind of give you an experience of that at some point. And, you know, any of your listeners as well, I have a workshop that I deliver online. You could just buy online if you wanted to check it out. But
oh, amazing. Yeah, I'll definitely link that below. So mm-hmm. you are doing the tapping with people, and are you also doing coaching, or is that always part of your coaching using that somatic practice? What does that look like?
Yeah, so I'm kind of in this, I don't want to say a weird place, but I'm kind of in a new place. So one of the things that I found as I continue to do my own personal trauma work and really kind of resolving a lot of my own issues was that my intuitive abilities really started to come out. And so I have a number of the clairs, so clairsentient, claircognizant and clairvoyant, I guess. So I've actually started to bring that into my work as well. So I kind of combine a lot of different things. I do the trauma work, primarily like EFT is kind of the primary modality that I use in my practice, but there is also, you know, elements of coaching because that ultimately was sort of the structure in which I learned mm-hmm. EFT. And then I also bring in the intuitive piece now. So I'm kind of just playing with that, and it's been really fun. I've started doing like intuitive business readings for people and, just intuitive readings to kind of see what is really going on underneath the surface for people. So I imagine it's going to be a pretty powerful, combo once I really kind of get into a rhythm there, to really be able to pinpoint like, yeah, what is underneath that, you know, avoidance of relationships, what is underneath that, you know, workaholism, whatever is going on for people. So, I use all three of those, and I find I tend to attract, there seems to be kind of two types of people that I attract. So one is people who struggle with any kind of obsessive or addictive behavior. People who have complex trauma and complex PTSD. So that tends to be one kind of stream that I attract. And then the other one is actually entrepreneurs, who want to move forward powerfully, And just want to clear, you know, blocks to whether it's mindset or productivity or whatever that looks like. So, yeah, because this tool and my approach, it can be used for a number of different things. So it's kind of fun. I'm kind of just experimenting with what, you know, which avenue I want to go down. And yeah, really just creating something of value for people, because I think, you know, I'm getting to a place where I'm recognizing that I do have a lot of experience at this point in my life. And I do have a lot of different things that I can help with. So I really just want to start sharing that
more. Amazing. I love it. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Melissa, for coming on and having this chat. I found it really valuable, and I'm sure a lot of people did. So thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you. Yeah, this was so fun. And thank you guys for listening. It's a real treat to do these kinds of things.
Thank you so much for listening. As mentioned, I have linked all of Melissa's contact information below, so feel free to contact her. I hope that you are having a beautiful week so far, and we will chat soon.